We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Reshu Gimel, the top of the page. The Magen Midovna had said that ordinarily we live life with a system where we know what we want, and then we sort of think, does it make sense or not? And the Magen Midovna said we should work the other way. Think first. Our thoughts should be in the driver's seat. And when you suddenly see something in the store that you want, it shouldn't be that you put it in the shopping cart, and then as you're walking around, you're trying to justify, can I afford it, can't I afford it, should I buy it now, shouldn't I buy it now? No. Leave it on the shelf, and your thoughts should be in control, and that item has to justify why it belongs in your cart. You should be accustomed to a situation where your mind is in control, and your desires are there, they have to fend for themselves, so to speak. You want me to buy you? Prove it to me. Why should I buy you? Why should I? V'kach lecha mashal. He says, take the following example. Im haya ba elecha ish asholot tedehu. If someone would walk in, you don't know him, v'lo kivaltem yado shum tova, never did you a favor, v'haya gozer alecha asiyat davar yadua, and he'd tell you something, can you shine my shoes? Honest. Can you just shine my shoes? Haim haita salam mishmato? You think you'd listen to him? Halo haita memale pichaschok? You'd laugh. V'tanev tomalo? You'd answer him. You'd tell him, Mali valach givata elai limsholbi. Do I know you? Why do you think you should tell me what to do? Haim titen li lachmiyum emai? Do you support me? Do you give me bread and water? Im ken chadal mimeni val tidlak acharai. So, leave me alone. Ken lecha davar imadi? Because we really have nothing to do with one another, so let's just leave it that way. וכמשפט הדברים אשר תשיב ותאמר לזולת אשר יובל להיות נגיד ומצווה עליך לא באמת ולא בצדקה. And just as you'd answer a stranger who tries to tell you what to do without any justice, without any real reasoning, כן תענה ותאמר נגד עצמך, you should be able to say the same thing to yourself. כי אם היה מציאותך והבעתך וקיומך שיפתך וחייתך עד אתה מסודר על פי רצונך, if it is your desire that gave you life until now, is it because you did everything you wanted to do that you're alive? Is it your desire that got you where you are now? Is it because you wanted things and that you just did whatever you wanted? That's what got you this far? No, it's your self-control. We all know that our great successes in life were when we had self-control. When we were able to decide and do what was right and disregard what our desires kept driving us to do. So we know that. But the Magen Midovna is spelling it out for us because, as we said before, this is a formula that's for all of life. It's about how you diet. It's about how you stop smoking. It's about how you take control of your internet time. Everything in life is this challenge. It's about controlling one's anger, one's alcohol. It's all the same formula. Who's in the driver's seat? My desires or my mind? Do I put the bottle in the wagon and then start deliberating? Or does the bottle stay there and my mind says no? And the bottle has to explain to me why yes. It's only if you can map out your life and say, well, whenever I did what I pleased, that's when things were right. Then your desires should take control. But obviously that's not the case. Obviously that's not the history of any person. And this goes back to the point that he said earlier. We said earlier that if you feel like you're missing something because you don't have an iPhone, then you're going to be missing something when you do have an iPhone. Because material things, if they're there to fill the vacuum, then the vacuum is not because you were missing that material thing. The vacuum is because something's missing in your personality. There's something missing in your self-confidence. So the Magen Midovna says, don't you know that your desire really, when it's faced against yourself, is nothing? Why should the desire take control? Who is he anyways? All he wants is to get what he wants. He's not thinking for your benefit. I was about to cut a deal with the bank. I was about to transfer and I couldn't figure out what the catch was. And I was doing it because I thought their fees were to my benefit. And I was going to transfer my salary and all our assets there. And then the guy behind the counter tells me, and if you do it, we're going to give you a free iPad. So I said, what? So he said, yeah. If you do it, we're going to give you a free iPad. Here are the conditions. You have to maintain this and this much in the account, and the account this and this much time. So I said, okay, then I have to think it over. And I was about to sign. But the second I saw he was so interested, I said, wait a second. I thought it was for my benefit. But then I'm missing something. Then there's something here that's for their benefit that I didn't catch. Because an iPad, you know, that's not a cheap thing. I haven't yet gone with the bank. I still don't figure out I couldn't figure out what the catch is. I still don't know. I'm not telling you which bank it was. I read the small letters. I don't know what the catch was. I still don't know.
They have this kind of action also in a bank in Holland.
It didn't make sense to me, according to my understanding of the sums that I'm dealing with, where they can make enough to cover an iPad. That didn't click by me. Something here, I'm missing something.
Did you ask the bank teller why, how they're giving you the free iPad? What's the reason?
Yeah, he had an excuse. It's not free. Somehow they have to cover that cost. And I don't see how they're covering it. So I'm missing something. Oh, you started giving me the shebang. Well, you're a loyal customer, and we know we're going to have you for a long time. And that's not it. I'm missing something. I don't know what I'm missing yet. I still don't know.
It's not from you. It's from the people who take much control of that
bank. Do you really think when you put your money in the bank that it just stays there?
You could convince yourself whatever you want. But other banks are not offering you that. I'm saying, fine, but how come he's offering me? There must be something about this deal that I didn't catch yet. I understand, but I wasn't signing for loan. I'm saying, that I understand. If I would have signed in $250,000 for 3 years, I understand he's giving me an iPad. In Bahia. That's what I'm telling you. The numbers I was talking about, it didn't add up.
What? The house is married.
Thank you.
I'll give you a little bit.
So the Magid Midubna says, what is your desire? What's his capacity? He can't do anything. All he can do is try to push you towards things. And when he's trying to push you, you have to ask yourself, where does their bone soul want me? Why is he pushing me? Why is he telling me to shine his shoes? That should turn on a red light. If I wasn't going down that route anyways, why is he attracting you there? What's there for him to gain? And what really turned on the red light was I said to him, you know what, I'll think about it. And 2 hours later, he calls me again. And 3 hours later, he calls me again. So I said, okay, something here is fishy. I still don't know what. I don't know. But let them keep their iPad. I didn't open the account. I'm missing something. In Keneifo, mi she'en bekocho kol me'uma min ha'yicholet ech yistarer alecha l'asur mishmato. What capacity does your desire really have? At the end of the day, you have a formula. You live your life according to what Hashem wants of you. So what's He there telling you to do? Why should you listen to Him? Nigzor alecha dvarim kefi chefzo. He should tell you what He wants? And this is a very interesting tool that he's applying here. We're talking about our desires as though it's someone external to us. Someone asked me the following question this morning. Their daughter spoke disrespectfully to them, and they sat down the girl to speak to her about it, and the girl said, "Ooh, my Yetzer Hara made me do that." So I asked the parent, where'd she get that from? So the parents said, that's what they teach him in Gan. There's a Yetzer Hara, and he tells them what to do, and when they do what's wrong, they listen to him. So I said, you know, I wouldn't educate a kid that way. You're taking the responsibility away from him. Yeah, he made me do it. What do you mean he made me do it? You have a choice. But here, it's a useful tool. He's saying, look at your desire as someone external. We very often think the desire is me. The intellect is the bad guy who's getting in my way from having a good time. Isn't that how we feel? I want the burger. There's this conscience. He's the bad guy. And I, well, me and the desire were one, right? No, says the Magni Dovna, and that's a subtle shift he's doing with us. He's saying, you have to put the intellect in the driver's seat. Your desires, they stand out here. They're the stranger, they're the foreigner, they're the ones that's seducing you. He says, leave such people who try to rule over you. He's talking about our own desires. Run for your life. Listen to the one who has real control. It is his desire that created you. It's his desire that keeps you alive. He's the one you should serve. Keep his Torah. And the fact that you get all excited or you want tranquility, you want to fulfill your desires, sheker ata dover. You should realize that's a lie. He is not the one in charge. Who are you anyways? So this seems like it's a little distant from us, no? But I do want the burger. And he does seem like the bad guy, that conscience. You know, it's the exact opposite from Pinocchio. Pinocchio has Jiminy Cricket out there, his conscience. He's the external one. And he's telling us no. Now, this goes back to the first point he made, where he said, really what we're trying to do is have a pure heart. And the way to get there is to realize the long term. And this goes back to Rav Sadia Gaon's introduction to Mishle. Where Rav Sadia Gaon says all of Mishle can really be summarized with this challenge. Long term, short term. Torah says, invest long term. My desire says short term. Long term, short term. And that's the challenge. That's all of Mishle. That's every challenge in life. What am I rooting for? Now, if we think long term, then we can really attain something. One of the things that I did for many years, from the first year I was in Beis Medrash, and I came across Stephen Covey in his fantastic book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He says to do this, but I've been doing this for a decade and a half now. I make mission statements for myself. Meaning, I ask myself, where do I want to be in 10 years? Where do I want to get to in life? I tell you guys to do 20, 10, 5, 3, 1, 6 months. No? Every time I sit down with you guys, I always say, divide the paper, write for yourself. Where do I want to be in 20 years? In 10 years? 5 years? 3 years? 1 year? 6 months? Because you have to begin with 20 years. Where are you headed in life? If you can figure out where you're headed, then you could ask yourself, well, where do I want to be in 5 years? Is that in line with where I want to be in 20 years? Well, too often guys take a job as a bartender. One day I want to be a doctor. Well, how are you going to get there? Are you saving up? Are you doing something? Eventually I'll get there. It doesn't just happen. Make yourself a map. Where do you want to go and how are you going to get there? What? So I'm saying, but that's part of the formula here. If you want your intellect in the driver's seat, then you have to be able to look beyond the moment. The reason our desires take hold of us is because on the moment what we sense very strongly is the desire. I know what that beer is going to taste like. I don't know what it's going to taste like to succeed in learning tonight. I don't know what it's going to taste like in 3 weeks to succeed in the test because I study for it now. I do know how much fun it's going to be to have that beer, to go to sleep, to sit on the internet. That's here and now. But the here and now is in the way of getting to the distance. So what we have to do is paint the picture of where we're headed in the distance. Ask ourselves, where do I want to go? And then start painting a picture. And then start asking ourselves, okay, how am I going to get there? What are the challenges I have to surpass in order to get there? That's one of the reasons why the guys in the gear department here are much more successful than anyone else. All too often I've had a class where no one shows up except for them. They have a goal. They know where they're headed. It's very clear. They know how they're going to get there. I'd say, anytime there's a minimal amount of people in class, it's the guys in the gear department. They know where they're going. A guy walks into Machon Meir, he doesn't know where he's going yet. He doesn't know where he's going. So I'd say, I'll go to this class, maybe I'll go to that class. Oshiken, oshalom. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. So this that he's saying to us sounds difficult. But it's only difficult if we haven't mapped out where we're going. If we stop and think, it's very doable. Hasvachresh, Simyadchal Picha, Vidairicharuya Nafshecha. He says to his own desire, he says, put yourself in your place, keep quiet, and you should know what your real value is. What's your value? What's your capacity to support this plan here? So don't go after what you desire, because the one who chose to give you existence, well, he also chose what's good for you. And this is a fantastic point, because this is really one of the difficulties we have. And I'll give you a small example. I'm not talking about anyone else here, okay? I'm talking about classical shul. You will notice, if you go to a shul, any shul, other than Sephardi shuls, you go to a classical Ashkenazi shul, there are the people who walk in late. I say not Sephardim, because by Sephardim, they're very good about this. They're almost always there on time. Most, if not everyone's there on time. You know, there's a Sephardi minyan I used to daven by for almost a year. And I would show up 5 minutes before davening, and I was the last one to walk in, and everyone was looking at me like, why are you coming so late? And I'm 5 minutes before the minyan started. But so I have a good experience as far as the minyanim. So,
I used to open a half hour before service to shul, but even then there were people already waiting.
Sephardi shuls. But you walked into the average Ashkenazi shul, you will see there are people who walk in late. Now, walk in tomorrow, almost always you'll see the same people walking in late. You can come in any day of the week and any day of the year, and it's almost always the same people who are coming in late.
Can't you call it a habit?
So you could call it a habit, but if you stop one of those people and ask them why they're late, they will tell you a reason. And almost always, it's not the same reason every day. Every day they tell themselves, tomorrow I'll be here on time, but they're not. And why are they not there on time? Why is it that our generation has such an issue with being places on time? So I think the reason is as follows. Let's say you're ready to go to shul on time. Shul's going to start in 10 minutes. So one person says, okay, I'll go and I'll be there 5 minutes early. What does the other person say? I'm just going to check my email. I have 5 minutes. I'm just going to call my friend. You think you're overachieving. You're not overachieving. You're underachieving. We spend our lives making that short-term decision without the calculation of what it's going to cost, and then we pay the price. And that's a repeated theme in many people's lives, especially in our generation, but it's because we're not looking beyond the minute. Stop and ask yourself, should I open my computer tonight? Do I really know where it's going to lead me? What are we thinking about? We sense that I want to do that. We're not thinking. Who's in the driver's seat? The desire. It's not my intellect, because if I thought about it, I'd say, let me go to shul. I'll be there 5 minutes early. I'll get a little bit of tilamin. I'll get calmed down. I'll have my tefillin on time. I'll have a fantastic davening this morning. So most people are not late because an emergency happened. And they're not late because it's a habit. They're late because they have that habit of doing one more thing that's going to get them late.
Sorry, the first 22 years ago.
Okay. But you're 25, so that's beautiful. Okay, so. Good. Okay.